Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Our topic today is superannuation and retirement. But really, we're going to be discussing a few key questions around making money last in retirement, whether people need to prepare for changes in expenditure, and some of the different income strategies that retirees use. And to do all this, I am pleased to say that we're joined today by Caroline Reese of Telstra Super Financial Planning. Caroline, welcome to Friends of Money.
Hi, Tom. Lovely to be here. I'm looking forward to the session.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, Caroline. So to start us off, we know that many people are naturally going to be concerned about their money, you know, not lasting, not going the distance in retirement. So how do you approach this longevity issue with your clients?
Yeah, look, I think the starting point is really getting to the bottom of what their retirement is going to look like. And to some degree, that will include what sort of income. Often it's also going to include other expenses that they may want to incur along the way. The most common ones we find are things like we want to go on some trips, or we want to change over our car or renovate our house or clear some debt. So it's making sure that we're factoring all of those things in. And then what dovetails into that is the decision-making about how much risk we're prepared to take. And also the big one is also how long we think we're likely to live for.
On the risk side of things, Caroline, do you find that, you know, retirees of different ages, even different generations perhaps, have different tolerances to risk? Or is it very much an individual thing at the end of the day?
Look, I think it is an individual thing. It is often based on the experiences of their working lives as well too. And I guess the key one I'll highlight there is that we do come across a lot of people who perhaps haven't paid much attention to their superannuation during their working life. Often that might be because they're in a scheme where they've not had to take any investment risk, like a defined benefit. So there's a safety net there. But generally, a lot of Australians are these days required to take investment risk as part of their superannuation and accumulation style. So if they haven't paid attention to that in their working life, it's a very big thing to then start paying attention to it in retirement. But it's actually very important at that stage to do so, because we're asking our retirement savings to do two competing things when we retire. We want it to pay us some money so that we can achieve a standard of living, but we do want it to still grow so that it can sustain what could be 20, possibly even 30 years, as much as people are horrified by that, 30 years in retirement could be the potential.
And I guess people might, you know, might think that they might not live that long, but they've got to be aware of that possibility, right? And prepare for that.
Yeah, look, the statistics that are out there at the moment are that when we see people often who are in their early to mid 60s, members of a couple, you'll find is that there's a 50% probability of one of them at least getting to 94 years of age on average. Okay, so of course there will be outliers around that, but that's still a very long time for at least one person to be around and needing to sustain a certain level of income to meet their living expenses.
Related to this, Caroline, I'm curious about expenditure in retirement. Do people typically change their spending once they stop work and retire, or even throughout their retirement?
Often it's not as big a change as they anticipate it's going to be. Sometimes the change is just in regard to we stop paying for debts at that point in time. We might have extinguished any personal debt we've had left. But often the expenses that went towards things that were more work-related are then replaced with more luxury items or more enjoyable things in our retirement, at least for the first 10 to 15 years. That's often prescribed by our health as well too. If our health is good and good for longer, then we tend to do more things for a longer period of time. So often there's not as dramatic a change that we see.
And then I guess that might change again later on if somebody, you know, goes into a nursing home, for example, or requires, you know, in-home help because of any kind of health or medical issues.
Yes, sure. Sometimes the expenses change then, but what we do tend to find a lot is that the expenses they were incurring in their younger years tend to stay fairly similar because even if they're not doing those things now, they need more help in the home or around the home, and often that takes up a little bit of extra cost along the way. Certainly, I think the one thing that I find a lot of people think of is that they think their expenses will drastically reduce when they go from two people to one. And certainly we don't find that expenses halve. They may reduce, but they certainly don't halve.
All right, Caroline, let's get to the crux of the episode today then. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a broad overview of some of the different income strategies that retirees tend to use?
Sure. So we need to follow, I guess, a couple of different things of consideration. One is how much investment risk they're prepared to take on. And as I mentioned before, sometimes that does come down to experience. Usually as an advisor, it's our job to come over the top of that and say, okay, well, there's your experiences and there's also what we're trying to achieve to make your money last for as long as possible. So that's the first thing to consider. The second thing to consider is what sort of supplementation may they achieve at a point in time, like, for example, the age pension age is 67. So that might help to supplement their income at a point in time. And then the third aspect is how concerned are they about this longevity and also to some degree the security and certainty of their income. And if that's a consideration, then we should be using a different strategy again. And that strategy is more along the lines of products that give us that that guaranteed income for life. So it's dovetailing those three things in together, dependent on the person.
One of the strategies I have heard of, Caroline, that I'd love it if you could touch on briefly, is this is the bucket strategy. Well, what's that all about?
Sure. So that's really in this core area of investment risk. And what we're talking about there is we're trying to take into account this competing need with our assets, our retirement assets, of we want it to pay us at the same time as we want it to grow. So the idea of what we call a bucket strategy is about taking into consideration that level of risk that you're prepared to run with, and then overlaying that with setting your strategy across what we call different buckets. And we call it that just to make it easier to understand. But we have a bucket that's really used for the more defensive assets that are going to pay us on a regular basis. And then that way we don't have to worry about the movements of investment markets. At the other end, we have more of the assets and the things that are focused on growing. And the idea is that we try to maintain those for a longer period because they do tend to perform better over longer periods, but can have short-term movements up and down. And then often we have a bucket that sits in the middle. That's kind of our backup to what is happening in the first bucket, so that when we're a few years down the track, we've still got resources to use if we're experiencing continued market volatility.
Final question from me then, Caroline. How can people kind of manage the volatility here, you know, if they are worried about that?
Tom, this is where the concept of that longevity piece comes into play, because they can also add another lever by using products that have a guaranteed income for life. And I think in the retiree space, this is really important because they can have some peace of mind that there's a base level of income that comes in and provides for them for those expenses they know they're going to have for life, you know, rates, registration, groceries, okay? And then having the flexibility with the rest of the investment strategy means that they've kind of got the best of both worlds. They've got some flexibility on one side and some certainty on the other. And what we find increasingly is that's what retirees are asking for. They want more certainty of their future.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Caroline, this has been a really interesting look into retirement and hopefully a helpful one for many of our listeners out there. So many thanks for joining us today and look forward to getting you back on the pod again soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website at moneymag.com.au for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go and grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, we'll be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.